570.
His name is David Vasek. Broadcasting straight from his home. His family probably wishes that he was still on the road, but he can't. Still, he's got a job to do. So he's talking Dodger baseball with each and every one of you. So while we sit waiting on games or waiting on names like Andre or Big Mac to crap on Vasek, Dodger talk without the baseball for a while, the time has come. So here it is, pandemic style.
No disrespect to my fans.
Welcome to another Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. And we are on at a new time, an hour earlier, moving forward on weeknights because something exciting is taking place at 7 o'clock. We here at Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports, heard you and heard how much you enjoyed hearing last year's opening day. So Dodgers Radio has been on AM 570 LA Sports since 2012, and there has been many exciting moments during that period of time, and we are going to relive those games with you until 2020 baseball starts. And tonight, we are going to flash back to last April 15th. It was Jackie Robinson Day at Dodger Stadium, and it ended with a walk-off home run by Jock Peterson. So that's coming up at 7 o'clock. But until then, Dodger Talk until 7, and it is Monday, so that means Big Mac Mondays. Mark McGwire, former Dodgers hitting coach and one of the greatest players of all time, has graciously accepted not only coming on Mondays, but has bent the family schedule to our new schedule at 6 o'clock. Hope this did not interrupt any family time, Mac.
David, we've been flexible for the last few weeks now, so yes, that was easy to do.
Yeah, I guess that's the easiest ask.
you know, there's nowhere to go, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wasn't sure what the eating schedule at the McGwire house was, though.
It moves. It's all day. You got five kids running around the house. It's all day. Yeah.
Are you the designated grocery store guy? Do you go to the grocery store for the family?
I have been. Yes. Yes, I have been. I went once last week. We haven't been since. I know everybody's trying to get, the hospitals getting respirators and ventilators, but I'm still trying to find toilet paper and paper towels. I mean, it's unbelievable how I've never realized that we love toilet paper and paper towels so much you can't find them anymore.
Isn't that bizarre? Just how people went for that was bizarre how everybody went for the toilet paper right away.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. I mean, Amazon. I mean, I live on Amazon, and I mean, it's a month out before you even get some. So. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, unfortunately, we're going through this crisis. We're gonna rise above it, but we just have to deal with what we have to deal with, and our lives are going to be definitely different. Our lifestyles are definitely going to be different. So,
hey, Mark, I'm curious. On a normal day, going to the grocery store, especially during this time, what's it like when Mark McGwire rolls through a Trader Joe's or a Ralph's or wherever to go grocery store shopping? Do people stop you? Do people ram your cart? How does it go?
No, I mean, that's the beauty of Orange County. That I've been living down here since the 80s. And I mean, I'm an Orange County, Southern California kid, and, you know, grew up watching the Dodgers and Angels. But I fell in love with Orange County ever since I was a little kid, and going to Newport Beach. And going to the store here is just, I mean, pretty much everybody knows you, so they don't really, nobody really bothers you. You run into some friends once in a while, and, you know, it's easy. I like it. I go to all different stores and get different things. I have one of my daughters has celiac, so she has to not have gluten-free stuff, and so we're shopping all over the place, and, you know, I've turned into plant-based / vegan. One of my sons is a vegan, so we're shopping all over the place just to get food in this house.
I love it. You do a great job. You're a great dad, and that's actually one of the reasons why you decided to stop coaching, right? You wanted to be Mr. Mom. You want to be the dad, and I know baseball precludes that from happening for about 8 months out of the year. How different is your life now that you don't have to go to the ball yard at 2 o'clock or noon every day?
Well, I mean, baseball is in my blood. So it's like, I mean, ever since I was, I don't know, probably 9 or 10. I always wanted to play baseball for the rest of my life, and unfortunately, you can't do that. But that's a great dream to have as a kid, and you know, I was lucky enough to play for a long time, and then I took a time off when I retired, got back in the game, and coached, and passed on the knowledge still, and still love passing on knowledge. I mean, my kids are at that age where, you know, you junior and sophomore in high school, and they're really talented, and I just wanted to be home. It was tough to be away from them. I love coaching, and especially in the big leagues, just love just watching the game, watching guys get better. But to be there and see my kids and know how talented they are, and have my wife call me up and tell me this is happening, that's happening, and I can't see it. It was very frustrating. So I made a decision after the 18 season. You know, I walked away from. I had another year left on my contract in San Diego. And walked away from it to be at home with the boys and the girls and my awesome wife, and it was pretty easy to get into a routine. So I love the routine, and you know, my boys don't drive yet. They're 16 and 17, and no interest in getting their driver's license, and they have their permit and stuff. They just so I'm their Uber driver, and we have great conversations and great times together, and it's even more now that we're in the house. And I mean, the family's really come together, and we've done a lot of really active things here, and lucky enough to have some land here in Orange County and space, and we've been doing some really great things and having a really, really good time, even though the country's going through such a bad time.
Big Mac Mondays, Mark McGuire is with us for the entire hour as we lead you up to Dodger replay of last year's Jackie Robinson night at Dodger Stadium. And we are doing some social media questions tonight for you, Big Mac. We have on my Twitter account, @TheReal_DV, I put it out there. If you have a question for Mark McGuire, tweet it, and he will answer it. And we will do that coming up in our next segment. Plus, Big Mac is going to give us the behind the scenes on a huge Nike commercial coming up later this hour as well. But yeah, we're going to do that, Mac.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Okay. Let's do it.
Come on. If people want to know. People love Hollywood and behind the scenes and all that. So you were Hollywood back then, and you had some Hollywood stars in there.
You're going to be very surprised when you ask me. You're going to be very surprised to see what the answer
All right. Well, before we get to that, okay. Some things happened since we last talked last Monday in baseball. Number one, you know, it was interesting how you were talking about your philosophy about how pitchers can avoid having as many elbow injuries and Tommy John surgeries as are going on, not only in Major League Baseball, but in high school and college. And after we spoke last Monday, it came out that Noah Syndergaard, the Mets hard-throwing right-hander, is going to have Tommy John surgery. He joins Chris Sale and Luis Severino, three big-time studs in baseball that require Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's definitely an epidemic. My personal opinion is I just think it's the training methods. You know, they're doing all these short spurts, run, throw as hard as you can to try to get velo. You know, it was absolutely – I cannot think of anything back in the day when so many players went down with elbow injuries. It just didn't happen. The guys, they conditioned better back then. They were long toss back then. What a better way to strengthen your arm throwing long toss and then bring it short. Today's kids tend to just train short bursts. And when you're doing short bursts, that's a lot of tension on your joints, your ligaments, your muscles. I really believe they really need to investigate this thing because it's an epidemic. And to have to think these young kids today, high school, travel ball, literally, you know, they look up to these kids, these young players that play in the big leagues, and they see how hard they throw, and they want to stay up with the Joneses. I think one of the problems is especially trying to get these young kids in the weight room. It's absolutely ridiculous at the young age. There are training methods you can do, very little things that you can do for these young kids today without lifting weights. You got to let these kids, their bodies grow. You know, you got to let the bones, the let the bones grow, the muscles grow. You got to let them get into the, until he maybe get it 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe then you can get them on some sort of a weight program. Today's, the way to do things today, it's all for a fast return, which I disagree with. You know, I just think somebody's got to start investigating this stuff because it's just not good for baseball, especially when you see these top gun guys. Yes, they might be throwing hard, but they're not lasting long enough. And another thing on top of this, David, is that we're actually coddling these guys along. I know they said this last week. We're doing everything. We're shortening the innings. We're not letting them go longer. We're doing these. I don't believe they're conditioning properly. Listen, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And nobody's training for a marathon anymore. They're training for sprinting. And I truly believe that is one of the causes for a major problem, an epidemic in baseball.
Now that you're involved with your kids in high school baseball, Mark, it's not only in professional baseball that we're seeing more Tommy John surgeries, but I was shocked when I read stories and research on how high schoolers are requiring Tommy John surgery. What are you seeing at that level that's requiring kids that are not even 20 years old to require elbow ligament surgery?
Well, I don't think there's knowledgeable coaching. You know, everybody's going to the computer. They're looking at numbers rather than looking at somebody's mechanics properly. You know, obviously, it's all dictated on your lower half. The stronger lower half you have, the stronger upper body you're going to have. Most kids try to throw with their all arm. It has not, you know, the arm is just a part of the body, but the lower half dictates everything. But then again, you go on YouTube and you have all these new coaches that really never played the game that are assuming what big league players are doing and coming up with their own theories. You're just seeing it's just really, really bad. These young kids are falling for it. And I just sort of chuckle at it when I see some of this stuff being said. I'm like, wait a minute, how does this guy know how to like teach these kids when he's never played the game of baseball? He looked at a computer. It's just I have a hard time believing that stuff. So there's a kid in Orange County who just had he's going to be a senior. He just had his second Tommy John.
Second Tommy John?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, he had one at like 13 or 14.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the problem. It's like, you know, yes. It's like, that's the problem. It's like these young kids want to stay up with the Joneses. And it's just like, and who's like, if, especially in high school, we do a weight program. There's nobody in there watching them. There's nobody in there watching them. You can do some weight programs with a trainer individually. Just have somebody watch you that know how you're doing things properly. But please don't lift heavy weights. I mean, there's no reason to. Let your body grow. It's a huge problem today.
Mark, when you look at some of these major league pitchers, you know, when I think back in my mind's eye watching Syndergaard throw, watching Sale's delivery, very violent deliveries that don't seem very fluid in their deliveries, and you can understand that it was just a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. And then you see a guy like Ryu, very easy delivery, or Kershaw here in L.A., Greinke, same thing. Can you think of like three guys that you see in Major League Baseball right now that maybe some of these young high school guys want to pattern their delivery after, where it doesn't put so much stress on their arms and elbows?
I think Greinke's one of the best. I mean, if you watch how slow, deliberate, the things he does, the methods, the way he goes about it, I mean, it's just, I mean, I think I read something that he went into spring training this year that he totally just, like, didn't do much at all. You know, it's just like, and I remember talking to him when he was with the Dodgers, and I was asking him one day, I was like, oh, why are you throwing so many fastballs in the games? He says, I'm trying to get my arm in shape. You know, it's just like, you know, and he was a long tosser. He was a conditioner. You know, he loved to run. Same thing with Kersh. Kersh is a great, I mean, Kersh loves throwing long toss. Kersh loves running. I mean, you know, these guys are the guys that you need to follow. It's not these short burst kids. I mean, like, how about Hicks from St. Louis? Incredible arm, 105 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
But you just knew as a matter of time that thing was going to explode. And then he's so good, 105 miles an hour, And then, you know, he's going to come back, you know, maybe if the league comes back and play this year, maybe at the end of this year, maybe next year. You know, you just hope that he can stand, you know, go play another few years. You know, the thing is, it's all about throwing 100 miles an hour. It's not about pitching and getting guys out and changing speed. It's like the whole thought process has gone backwards. Totally disagree. Not to say that 100 miles. Listen, it'd be awesome to throw 100 miles an hour, but it's like, do you know how to pitch? Do you know how to pitch? I mean, do you know how to get guys out? What happens when that 100 goes to 98, 95? Then what are you going to do? You know, it's just like, I mean, still, it's just like these kids today, I would rather have these kids today at a younger age, high school, junior college, learn how to pitch, the velo. All that stuff's going to come. It's going to come with as you get older and strength. And especially if you get a hold of a pitching coach that really knows what he's talking about, get a hold of you and get your body all in line and everything goes right down the right lines. It's like, geez, a lot of good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I mean, Sandy Koufax has passed it down to so many Dodger pitching coaches, including Rick Honeycutt, who's passed it down to a lot of other guys as well. We're going to take a timeout, Big Mac, when we come back. Some Twitter questions, and then we'll get into the league playing in 2020 and a couple of different ideas on how to make that happen. Big Mac Mondays with Mark McGuire. We're going to take your Twitter questions next for Big Mac at the real underscore DV. Dodger Talk with you until 7 o'clock tonight, and that's when Dodgers replay takes over. Tonight we are going to relive Jock Peterson's walk-off home run a year ago on Jackie Robinson night. Don't go anywhere. There's more to come on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Dodger Talk with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. And then Dodgers replay. That's right. We will relive another great Dodger game. And it is a Jock Peterson walk-off home run on Jackie Robinson night. Those nights are always special in Major League Baseball. We are with you on Dodger Talk until 7 on Monday, which means we are joined by the great Mark McGuire, Big Mac Mondays. And Mark, I'm sure you had some special moments on Jackie Robinson night, and as a coach and as a player, those nights are special no matter what.
Absolutely, it was even more special as a coach with the Dodgers. I mean it's the old Brooklyn Dodgers, and you know, Jackie got the broke the barrier, and what he had to deal with. It's just absolutely unbelievable that he was treated that way. He rose above it, and one of the all-time greats.
Mark, speaking of Jackie Robinson Day, it doesn't look like it's going to happen because the president said that we are going to continue this stay at home until April 30th, and Jackie Robinson Day is every April 15th. But Major League Baseball and the Players Union have discussed a couple of different parameters about baseball in 2020. One thought is, and I'm on board with it, is to play in empty stadiums in the spring training stadiums like Camelback Ranch or Salt Rivers Field. And if that's what it takes to get baseball going, at least for the first month or two, I'm all for it. At least we'll have it on the radio and on television.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. It's a tough position. You know, there's a lot of money out there. I really feel for both everybody that, you know, the concession stands, the ticket people, it's unbelievable what's gone on in this country, and everybody's put on hold, and you know, to you know, these huge TV contracts, and I mean, I would have to think that there's going to be baseball sometime. I don't know when. I don't think anybody knows when. But you know, let's just say that there is. Let's just say this virus hangs around all summer. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, there might be some teams really in trouble. I mean, it's just like the you know, it's the money. It's just the TV contracts. It's like, which I didn't know. I talked to a very good friend yesterday. I didn't know that. You know, I guess the small print in the Major League contract is. Because I asked, I said, hey, I go, do you think the players, players with multi-year deals, are they still getting paid right now? Because usually multi-year deal, you're getting paid 12 months, right?
Yeah.
It's just rolling over. And the small print is every team has an option not to pay if there's a national disaster, which I never knew that. But it makes total sense. And here we are in a national disaster. So I think it's to each team's prerogative if they continue to pay these multi-year deals. And, I would think that they wouldn't. But I really hope something happens because, it's the summer. And everybody tends to really, really fall in love with the game of baseball. You know, the only thing is it really upsets me. It upsets my boys is we turn on ESPN all the time and to watch things, and they're always talking about NFL football. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, why is NFL football, which is not even, okay, the draft's in a few weeks if they do it, but it's like, why isn't baseball the top subject? I just don't get it.
And your boys should have turned the TV on the Dodgers, Sportsnet LA. They they were showing game four of the '88 World Series.
We don't get the Dodger games down here in Orange County, which is ridiculous.
All right. Well, anyway, they were showing it. They were showing it. Hey, Mark, do you want to take a couple of questions on Twitter here?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. At the real underscore DV, if you want to send questions to Mark McGuire, and we already got a bunch. So here's one. Here's a Dodger related question, Mark, from Trey underscore B at Coach Trey B. He wants to know which Dodger you believe will be most likely to see a big surge in power at the plate this year.
A big surge in power. Wow.
It's hard to say considering they all hit for power.
Yeah.
Maybe Austin Barnes.
I would say Pollock. Pollock. I mean, he's got it and he's had some injuries. He came back last year a little bit slower getting back after the injury. But if Pollock, depending on how they're going to use him, prior to this stoppage, it sounded like him and Jock were playing time in left field. So, AJ, I've always liked him. I always liked the way he goes about things. But, everybody else, I think AJ Pollock might be the one that is going to bust out.
Hey, Mark, that reminds me of when the Dodgers did sign AJ Pollock. You were a big fan of AJ Pollock signing with the Dodgers, and you really believed in him.
Yeah. I mean, I loved watching from the other side. It's just like when he was with Arizona, you know, the injuries that he had, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they were all like game action injuries. They were all like collisions or something they weren't these little freak injuries. It was just like playing. He plays hard. I mean, he always leaves his feet. He's a great base runner. He can run down a ball in the outfield. He's got a very accurate arm. He just had some injuries that have slowed him up a little bit. And I just always liked him. And last year, I mean, he had some good times, but it's like, I think if he concentrates on getting the ball more in the strike zone and not striking out so much, I think you're going to see a big, big, big upward turns for him.
All right, here's another question from Terry Fick Jr. He wants to know if you can think back to your playing days on a pitcher or a pitch that was most difficult to pick up to hit as a hitter.
It's that tight slider down away, or down and in on the lefty. And it was first week in Yankee Stadium in 1986 when I got called up, and the second game, I believe it was Louisiana Lightning, Rod Guidry.
Whoa.
And I'll tell you what, I've never seen a slider like that ever in my life. I mean, it was to my back foot. It took me a while to learn how to hit that thing, but I'll tell you, it made me look awful. And then slider down and away for me from a right-hander, that was a tough, but as I got older and as I knew how to pick my side of the plate and what I wanted to do, like I think we talked about it last week, to these numbers today, kids tend to like, oh, their out pitch is this. I'm going to look for their out pitch. You don't want to look for their out pitch. But that's that's just experience. And, you know, I did it too as a young kid. And instead of looking for your zone and wait for your pitch, and then, you know, he's going to hit a spot, he's going to hit a spot. And if it's a nasty pitch, I'm going to tip his hat, I'm going to tip my hat to him.
You know, they did a big story on Nomomania in the LA Times on Sunday, and I know you didn't see him too often, but did you have a chance when you got traded to the Cardinals in 97 to ever see that splitter from Nomo?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I did. I'm not too sure if I had any success. It was only a sample size. But, you know, I sort of liked hitting the splitter. I liked, you know, there were some guys that had success that had splitters. I loved hitting the knuckleball. I loved hitting breaking balls, period. I mean, especially curveballs. I loved it. I really think that had to do with a lot of the nerf ball and wiffle ball games I used to play as a kid. You know, didn't see many fastballs in those games, did you? Saw a lot of off speed. So
yeah,
Nomo was really good. It was, you know, but I nothing that I recall. I think he probably had the upper hand. I didn't have that. It was a sample size.
You know, that pitch, the split-fingered fastball, it used to be a huge popular pitch in the 80s, and then all of a sudden there started to become, I don't know if it was ever proven, but a lot of pitchers believed it put too much torque on their arm. I remember Tim Leary with the Dodgers. He was a big split-fingered guy. Whatever happened to the splitter?
I don't know. I think there's a few guys that are bringing it back. You know, and my son actually throws one. It's actually really, really good. We had
your son does?
Long talk with.
That's great. With
Dave Stewart about that, and Dave resurrected his career up in Oakland, and you know, 87, 88, 89, and 90, four consecutive years of 20 plus wins, and all he threw was a fastball splitter. And his theory is like, if you could throw a splitter, and you, as long as you're pronating, you're totally fine. The problem is people don't pronate, and that's the thing that puts a strain on your elbow. He never had an elbow problem. He threw a splitter all the time. And so that's something that stuck in my son's, stuck in his head. And so when he throws a splitter, it's one of his pitches. He's got three of them. It's really, really good. A lot of kids think it's a knuckleball, but it dances, man. So it's a good pitch. I wish guys threw it more. But they have to obviously think about the way they're throwing it. And as long as you're concentrating on throwing it and the pronating, you should be fine.
You know, there's one Dodger pitcher that had a lot of success last year, Tony Gonsolin, and one of his more dominant pitches is the split-fingered fastball. So he's another example of a guy that's using it and has really good mechanics from what I can see.
Well, that has a lot to do with it. You know, it's, and we talked, you know, about this short burst stuff. As long as you're conditioning yourself, lower half is strong, you're doing your shoulder exercise, do the Dr. Job exercises. Well, those things work. And, you know, and understanding how the body works instead of looking at a computer and going, I'm more worried about the miles per hour, you're going to be better off. I mean, listen, nobody's immune to injuries. I mean, it's going to happen. But the more you're in tune to your own body and understand how it works instead of having somebody tell you on a computer, you're going to be better off in the long run.
We're going to take another time out here. Big Mac, can you hang in one more segment?
Absolutely, yeah. Sure.
See, this is what happens. A real radio show, Mark. We have to take breaks. You know, a podcast, you could just talk forever, you know? This is a real show.
Well, maybe we should do a podcast. Yeah, that'd be nice to look at your face and see how you react to your house and everything. See your backdrop of your house. What room are you in anyway?
I live in the San Fernando Valley, Mark. Maybe you could make the drive one day.
Yeah, well, that's a long ways away.
All right, we'll talk about that more.
That's North Orange County.
Yeah, I'll see if I can negotiate that in our next segment. And also, if you ever heard the slogan, chicks dig the long ball, well, they made a commercial, Nike did, and it was surrounded by this guy, Mark McGwire. So we'll play a little bit of it, and we'll get the backstory on how Heather Locklear was the one that was eyeing Mark McGwire in this commercial. So don't go anywhere. More Dodger Talk with Mark McGwire leading you up to Dodgers Replay at 7 o'clock right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. It is Big Mac Mondays on Dodger Talk. Mark McGuire joins us every Monday night and at our new time, 6 o'clock, because we have Dodger Replay for you at 7 o'clock. Tonight we are reliving Jock Peterson's walk-off home run from Jackie Robinson night a year ago against the Cincinnati Reds. And Mark, the first show we did, you brought up your top 10 streaming shows. I've got one for you tonight.
Okay, what's that?
Well, somebody tweeted the question too, so I'm going to bring it up. I have been watching The Tiger King on Netflix, and I'm curious if you've dove into that.
Well, I had a real good buddy of mine, Robbie. He told me to watch it because you're going to fall. It's going to be awesome. So myself and Max and Mason, my boys, sat down and watched it, and we got through the first episode, and I had to turn it off. I didn't like it.
What? Why? It was it too much for you? The craziness of their life?
It's just weird. It just wasn't. I guess what is there, 6 episodes, and I guess it's pretty. He's in jail right now. That's what somebody said. So I don't know. I didn't get into it. So
you're a better man than the rest of us.
We just got done watching Ozark. Season 3. So it came out, streamed on Friday, and so we just got done watching last night, and we watched another episode of Homeland, which is in this last season this year, and so that's where we're at. So we're back now. Maybe I'll say something to my boys when we start watching again tonight. Maybe we'll try to pick it up this week, and we can talk about it next week. But yeah, I know I've seen a lot of articles and stuff on the internet. People are getting his hair cut and doing all that stuff.
Oh, gosh. It's a train wreck. I mean, it is a train wreck.
Actually, I think I had that haircut back in the early 90s. And, you know?
I recognized that hairdo, that mullet.
That was Billy Ray Cyrus's haircut, man. Everybody did that in the early 90s. Coming back, you know?
Seriously, what were you doing? What were you thinking when you looked in the mirror in, like, 96 and said, hey, this looks really good?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if you've lived long enough, you know, shoot, I'm going on 57 right now. If you live long enough, you think you look back and when you're 25 and 30 years old, you're like, what the heck was I thinking? But that's just the style back then, you know what I mean? So it's like, who's know what the style is going to be this year in the 20s? But it's just like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I look at some of the highlights of me back in, even cause, I'm like, I had that kind of stance at the plate? Are you kidding me? But you know what, though? My boys, they were watching the game the other day, and a lot of the guys, like, when I was watching as a kid, you know, in the 70s and stuff, they had the stance. I had a stance just like them. It's just like, you know, you just hit what you saw on television. And, totally weird. So I'm sure you have some pictures of yourself and your wife brings it up a few times to you a year and say, look at David.
Yeah, they're from last week, Mark. My pictures are from last week, and I say, what am I doing?
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
Hey, Mark, speaking of your hair, all right, we're going to dive into this now. Okay. The commercial, the Nike commercial, chicks dig the long ball. Glavin, Maddox were jealous of the intention you were getting for hitting home runs. Heather Locklear was the star of the commercial, along with you, of course. So let's let everybody hear a clip from that commercial.
Okay.
Ronnie, we
How
got that?
How are they going to worship this guy?
Hey, we got Cy Young winners over here.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Hey, have you guys seen Mark?
So there it is. It's a visual commercial, obviously, a television commercial, but it was an iconic one that they made T-shirts of, and people still say chicks dig the long ball. So what was the dynamic behind that commercial?
You know what, David? I did absolutely nothing. All they did was take video of me in the batting cage taking batting practice. It was Glavin and Maddox that did all the – they had to do all the takes. They spent an off day filming that commercial along with Heather Locklear, who, you know, back then was she was the hottest thing ever, you know? And it was like, everybody's like, did you meet her? I'm like, no, I wish I did. It's like,
oh man.
You know, it was just, yeah, I know. I'm sorry to tell you, but I'll tell you what, I love the slogan, and you know, shoot, I wish they would bring it back. And there's a number of guys in this league right now in the big leagues that they can do Six Zig the long ball. And, I think they should bring it back. Not at Nike. I think maybe Major League Baseball, you know? So, yeah, it was great. I loved it.
So I'm just curious, because you always see things kind of choreographed and scripted. They just took video of a random Cardinals batting practice day and never asked you to do anything specific?
It was Max and Glavin that were doing all the commercial stuff, yeah.
What did you think about watching them in the weight room?
Go ahead. Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, those guys never worked out, ever. Are you kidding me? Oh, they worked out. It was on the golf course. That's where they worked out. I remember asking Greg Maddux a couple years before he retired, and I was like, I can't believe you're still going. He goes, Mark, let me tell you something. I get paid $10 million a year, pitch once a week, and play golf five times a week. How great's that? I said, well, yeah. You know, so.
That sounds like a good life. That sounds like a good life.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
So we're going to be coming up to the end of the tonight's show, and in case you've missed any of it, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app. We're playing a walk-off home run from last year's Jackie Robinson game, and the Dodgers had a few walk-off games last year, Mark, but I remember your first year as the batting coach for the Dodgers in 2013. That second half, after Hanley got healthy and Puig got called up, that might have been one of the most exciting 50 games the Dodgers have had in the last decade.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I mean, we were unconscious, weren't we?
Yeah.
I remember as a coach, we had this huge meeting in Milwaukee after the game. It's like, what's going on? And it's just all of a sudden things just turned. It's just like it was just unbelievable to watch. We couldn't lose. We could not lose. There, I'll tell you, there's nothing better than winning, period. It is just such a great feeling. And especially when you're around 25 guys and just holding up that trophy. It's the hard work and the sweat and the tears. But you know what? You become such a better person, a better player by going through those times, those downtimes. And it's like, you know, you have to have downtimes. That really brings up the character in yourself. And you really know what somebody's made of is when they can overcome adversity. And I'll tell you what, the game of baseball, I tell you, the baseball gods are there. And you're going to have a lot of adversity. And the really, really good ones, they overcome it. Believe me, I've been there. I've been more on the bottom than I've been on top. But because I've been on the bottom, it made me realize what I needed to do to get on the top. Never, ever take the game of baseball for granted.
Yeah, not a lot of people remember that there were a couple of years where you were struggling to find yourself. You had some injuries the last couple of years in Oakland, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, 1991, I hit 201 with – close to 600 at bats. That's really
that's incredible.
I mean, 201, that's hard to do. That's hard to do to come to the ballpark every day looking over my shoulder thinking they're going to send me down to AAA. It never happened. Years later, I found out the reason why I didn't go. The year prior to that, I won the Gold Glove first base. Dave Duncan, who was one of the best pitching coaches ever, put on a uniform, told Tony, I don't want him to leave. I want him to stay up here, even though he's struggling. He's gonna be better because of this. Years later, I found out that was the reason why I stayed. They never sent me out. They wanted to send me out because I was that bad at the plate. But I understood. I realized it. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said I didn't make changes. Went home that offseason. I went and saw an eye doctor, did a bunch of eye exercises, learned how the eyes are important, learned how that your eye is held by hundreds and hundreds of muscle strands where you can do exercises to strengthen your eyes. I got to the point where I could see the writing on the ball. I can see the dot on the ball. I can see the guy's fingernails. I slowed the game up. I slowed the game up because I understood what I needed to do to overcome this stuff. Failure. A lot of guys don't. They put their head and they start blaming other people for your failures when the failure is usually because of you. And you have to overcome it. You got to be better than that. You're going to come up to brick walls your whole career, your whole life. It doesn't matter if just an athlete, just in life in general. But the ones that are successful, the ones that bust through it. And believe me, I've busted through a number of brick walls, but that's because I became the player and the person I am today. And that's why I got back in the game coaching back in 2010. And I'll tell you what, I just love passing the knowledge, love being around kids, love watching the game of baseball. I can see things that a lot of coaches can't see. I just see them. But I see them because I understand how the baseball swing works. I understand what you need to do. But it's because of the failures that I went through and I overcame them. That's the reason why.
And I'm sure that helped you as a coach because for a guy that had the career that you had, Mark, I'm sure nobody knows that story or knows that you hit 201 in 600 at-bats. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
when you see a guy struggling, I'm sure that helped you understand and relate.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's like if you talk about being on the bottom of the bottom. I mean, that is hard to do. Yeah, I hit 20-something home runs and 70-something RBIs, and I still had on-base percentage of well over 300. I was getting on base, but I just totally lost it. Totally lost it. But I understood what I needed to take by looking in the mirror and looking at me, not looking at somebody else, and not blaming somebody else. The one person to blame was me. I needed to make some changes, and I did it. And it takes a lot of a person to do that. And that's the thing. It's like understanding the mind, the strongest muscle, the strongest muscle in the body. Your mind controls everything you want to do and not do. But it was because of failure. It was all because of failure. And you talk to businessmen, you talk to anybody that's been successful in their life, I will guarantee you, It wasn't a bed of roses all the way up to the top. Guarantee you. There's a number of deals that have gone wrong and things that screwed up and this and that. But they overcame them. They busted through the walls. And believe me, kids out there, coaches out there, you're going to have those times. But it's getting these kids and having them understand the mind is the most important thing that can get you through these things.
I heard that you told this story to a group of minor league players at Dodger camp once. So what was the reaction and the eye contact you were getting back from those players?
Yeah, that's, I think to your point where I don't think when they look at what I've done in my career, they don't look at the bad side. They don't look at the failures. They look at what happened in the 98 or, you know, the time in St. Louis, the winning years in Oakland, but they don't look at the team, the years that I had, you know, I was hitting 230, you know, struggling with this, struggling with that. It's just, but that's my point. It's like when you have a coach that has gone through pretty much any and everything that you can go through in the game of baseball, passing that knowledge, I just don't know how you just don't want to continue the conversation and want more and learn, and that's the thing. It's just like it's about understanding how powerful the mind is. I didn't know, but it took failure to get me to know. And here I am at, 25, 26 years old, having failure for the first time in my life. And then I had to realize, wait a minute, I had to make some changes. It's a hard thing for a 25, 26-year-old kid to do. It is.
Especially with all the success you had.
Yeah, but it's just, that's the way it is. It's like today, that's what I'm saying. The young kids today are so enthralled with a number rather than a feeling and understanding what you as an athlete and understanding how the body works, understanding how the mind works. not worrying about what a number is going to be up on the board or the number is going to be on the computer. Another thing I tell these kids is those kids today tend to follow the money. They want to chase the money. Let's just say chase the money. If you got to go out there and put the numbers, the money is going to follow you. But if you're going to try to chase the money, it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. The money's always going to be there. But the really, really good ones, they don't worry about it because they know themselves. They know themselves. And if you know yourself and you believe in yourself, the money's going to follow. So today, I can't put enough emphasis on how strong the mind can be in understanding who you are as a person, as a player. Where's your strike zone? What's your strengths? What's your weaknesses? I think the best thing, I don't know if we talked about it, but Mike Trout, you know, saying, I want to improve on certain things. And they have, you know, I wish they had the analytics when I was playing about a defense stuff, even though I won a gold glove. I wish somebody came up to me and said, hey, listen, we need to work on this certain thing. The analytics say this. You know, Trout searched this thing out. He wanted to make himself a better outfielder. I'm like, God dang, how good is that? Why do you think this guy's the number one player in the game, the face of the game? Because he goes, he searches for it. What can I do to be better? He's not satisfied. I was never satisfied, but it took a big kick in the you-know-what to make me understand that, and it was failure. There's not a person that's ever played the game, a baseball player has ever played this game, that can, at the end of the season, look themselves in the mirror and go, that's the best I could do. No one. Because you know what? Over the course of 6 months, there was so much failure, so much just where you just weren't the right, you weren't, nothing was going right for you. But you made your season in the matter of a month or 6 weeks, 7 weeks. You had a really hot time. There's your season. But that's what drives players. Why do you think Trout's the best player in the game? Because he wants to get better. He searches for, what do I need to do to get better? I encourage that to all these young athletes today. It's just something, everybody has it. You just have to know how to tap into it.
Man, that's a good way to end the show. The mind is a powerful thing, and we all need that mind to help us through this. And that's a great story, Mark. And thank you for sharing that with us, because that's a lesson for everybody. The great Mark McGwire hit rock bottom and had to self-evaluate and be honest with himself. We'll talk to you next Monday, Mac. I hope you and the kids huddle together as a family, get the popcorn around with that Tiger King going.
And be safe, wash your hands, social distancing, and we're going to get through this, everybody. We're going to get through it. Baseball is going to come back, so everybody hold tight.
All right, Mark. We'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks for everything.
All right, David. Have a good
one. There he goes, Mark McGwire, Big Mac Mondays. And you can podcast the show at am570lasports.com or download it on the iHeartRadio app. Don't go anywhere. Dodger baseball is on the way. Dodger replay right around the corner. We're going to relive Jock Peterson's walk-off home run on Jackie Robinson Day 2019. Thanks to Ronnie Fazio for his help. Don't go anywhere. Dodger replay is next. See ya.